You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Queer Times.
Hi, Harrison. How are you?
Hey, Kristen. I'm doing good.
Welcome to Queer Times. My name is Kristen Becker.
I'm Harrison Fish.
How you been?
Kristen, I've been okay. I mean, season is getting going, right? Over in P-Town?
No, it's crazy. Season is getting going and the weather's nice. So, SAS staff just got here. We get 8 new young adults that show up on 5 on Thursday and then the other 3, or like maybe 6 on Thursday and then the other 2 on Friday. And yeah, we've really like honed the process now. And so they used to kind of come a little bit more staggered, but we realized that that isn't quite it. And so I'm really excited that coming off of the ferry on Thursday is going to be 6 of them at 7 p.m. So yeah, we'll see if they find each other on the ferry. This is also the first year where I've introduced them to a shared Google folder for photos, a shared Google Photos folder, to see if they will upload photos of their journey on the way here and then to see if they'll be able to recognize each other, because they don't know each other until they get here, really, right? These are all strangers from across the country that get thrown into a house to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, season is cranking already. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that's exciting. I think it probably does make sense for them all to come together. Then you can have, do you do like a cute dinner or like a welcome thing?
We'll do a dinner. We'll hang out. And then it's orientation over the weekend. So we have a woman coming in. We'll do like a welcoming circle, a little bit of information on restorative justice and just communal living and like how to communicate through things. And there's so much to process in the, I mean, imagine that you've, number one, just moved across the country. That alone is a huge deal, right? Number two, you're maybe, you know, some of our kids have been to college before, some of them haven't. Maybe you've never shared a room with anybody before, and now you're sharing a room with these strangers. And where is the grocery store? And maybe you've been living with your parents and you've never gone grocery shopping on your own, right? So, you know, they'll get, we're giving them a $200 grocery card this year to just because everything's so expensive. It used to be, when we first started the program, it was $100. Then it was $150. And now we're like, all right, you need $200 to get groceries for, you know, 2 weeks, hopefully. Ideally, they're, you know, kind of stocking up and then they start work. And, you know, we do, it's just so much to process in a very short period of time that it's kind of a slow, they all get here and then it's like hang out and we'll do dinner, we'll get pizzas, we'll grill, we'll do something like that. And then we'll have orientation. And then the following weekend or the following week, we're doing portraits with Joe Navas, who came. The great. It really is a cool, it's just really cool to have them show up and be able to present themselves as they feel and get an incredible portrait of themselves made, right? And so that's part of the beginning process of, you know, seeing yourself in a different light. And then we'll do a drag brunch next weekend. And then, you know, people start working and learning the town and riding bikes all around and knowing each other and falling in love and then hating each other. Like it all happens in the first like 2 weeks, every, you know, but that's what it's here for. It's here for them to have the opportunity to figure out who they are.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
So what's going on in the world, Kristen?
Did you see that they are, I thought this was a great own. They were like trying to come for Mom Donnie in a way. And then they like flipped it because the billionaires were mad that he, did you see the ad where he pointed out the billionaire's house, the apartment? He's like, this is.
No.
So he created,
I love that, though.
So he created an ad and he was like, that up there is so-and-so's penthouse. And they are never here. They just store their money in real estate in New York. And we're going to tax them for that. And people were like, oh, we told you he's dangerous. And they thought that was going to be an own. And the campaign's like, no, that's what we said we were going to do. Like, that's not an own, you know?
I mean, Mayor Mondani ran on taxing the rich, and I assume there's other ways in which he's hoping to do it. But one of the ways he has been able to is this pied-à-terre tax, which is any any piece of real estate, residential real estate that someone owns that is their not their primary residence in New York City that is worth over $5 million gets taxed at 5%. And the kind of standard rebuttal against taxing rich people, wealthy billionaires is like, oh, they'll leave. And people are still using that against this pied a terre tax. But I'm like, the whole point is that they're being taxed because they're not here. Like, they can't, like, they're being taxed on an apartment or whatever that they own that they don't live in. They're not, they've already left. They're gone already. They aren't there.
Yeah. They're not hanging out. They're not spending money there. Maybe they're coming for a couple nights here and there when there's a show that maybe they want to see, or, mm-hmm. but they're not, you know, I mean, it's similar to the, you know, Provincetown has always had the second homeowners, and now it's been rebranded to the part-time taxpayers. And I just feel like you live where you live, and where you live is where you are a voter. Period. Mm-hmm. And if you want to become a resident, by all means, become a resident and vote. But if you want to act like money allows you more votes, what do you think you are? A corporation?
No, literally. And the PPRTA, which is the Provincetown Part-Time Residents Taxpayers Association, they were kind of my nemesis in Provincetown because you're exactly right. They are a organization that tries to gain political power where they aren't supposed to have any based on our structure of democracy. And they think because they have the wealth to own property in two different places that they should get double the amount of democratic power, which is, that is oligarchy. The more money you have, the more homes you can have, the more democratic power you have. That is oligarchy.
And which, in their defense, seems to be running rampant.
Totally. But they are committing voter fraud. They have been investigated for committing voter fraud. There have been explicit statements where the organizers of these groups tell their members to commit voter fraud. So
which
they're
is
bad
why.
People. Yeah.
Which is why. Number one, I do hope that I have that much money. I was going to be like, I really hope that I never have that much money. I do hope that I have that much money. And I hope that I don't treat it the way some people treat it.
Does having that much money make you a selfish person, or do only selfish people get to be that wealthy? Like, because I imagine if something
which
happened
came
to
first,
me,
the ego or the cash?
What'd you say?
I said, which came first, the ego or the cash?
Right. I just can't imagine ever being in a situation where I had that much money. But if I ever found myself in a situation where I had that much money, I wouldn't use that money to hurt poor people.
And I think it's also important to, you know, when we say have that much money, in a lot of cases, it's not necessarily a gazillionaire, you know, but if you are in a position and to own a house here and a house in New York or whatever it is, I can understand wanting to participate in a community, but you can do that without needing to disrupt the democratic process of one person, one vote.
I mean, it really boils down to the idea that these people, they're like, I have money, which means I should get what I want.
Yeah. Hmm. Not all of them, though. There's some good ones, which I will
totally
know about soon, but I can't. Yeah.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or dsw.com today, and let us surprise you.
Yes. But tease. What was real? What'd you say?
I said tease.
But what has been really big in the news over Mamdani over the past couple of weeks has been that it is official. He has balanced the budget in New York City, which is
how good did that make you feel?
I think it's amazing. I think it's so incredible. And I think what is really dangerous about Mamdani to the Democratic establishment politics in general is the fact that he is proving that if you have the mission to do whatever you can to make people's lives better, it's not nearly as hard as you can, hard as it is when you have the Democratic establishment and other politicians. Every time you're like, why don't we just do this? Why don't we just fix that? They're like, there's a process to go through. There's red tape, and they hide behind that red tape. They're the people who have installed that red tape so that they are not accountable to do anything.
Do you think that his inability, because he's not born in this country, to seek a higher office is his own ego check? Because I feel like, you know, a lot of time mayors from large cities often have bigger political ambitions, right?
And true.
I think he could probably be governor, I think, right? But, you know, he is disqualified from being president of the U.S. And so I wonder if built into this identity and his politics, you know, I'm not saying that he would be a sellout. That's not what I'm implying, but the option isn't there. And what a great position to be in, to know that the only thing you really have to work for are the people of New York City.
Right. And I feel like he, I mean, granted, I don't know him, but I do have a sense of trust for him, whether that's right or wrong. But I do feel like he seems to be enjoying just being the mayor of New York City and doing a great job. I mean, that is, if anytime you ask any politician, like, oh, do you want to go to this next level? They're always going to say no. It's like the standard, like, oh, I'm so happy right where I am.
No, but he can't.
Yeah, true.
Like, he legally cannot. So it doesn't really, like, I think that removes the establishment from saying, right, but, you know, you want to do this now, but what about in 5 years when you want to make a run for president, you know, you have all this notoriety, you have to play a long game here. And he just can literally say, no, I don't, because it, you know, it doesn't matter how much pressure you put on me, I'm not able to do that.
Right.
Versus what you were talking about in California.
Right. In California, there is a very kind of like bloated primary field. And a lot of what's scary about the primary in California is it is an open primary, a jungle primary is the term, which means basically all Democratic, Republican, and other party candidates all get thrown in one pool for the primary. And the top two go to the general election, and then there's only two people in the general election, which was troublesome early because there was a dozen of Democratic nominees and only two Republican nominees. So for a while, the polling was the two Republican nominees in the lead above all the Democrats that were splitting the vote. Fortunately, Donald Trump jumped in and endorsed somebody, which basically entirely threw off the Republican Party. And now there's only one Republican at the top of polling. So it looks like we'll probably have one Republican and a Democrat, which is good.
So what you're saying is, and I think this is how it always should be, and I honestly, quite frankly, here's my stupidity about it all. I didn't know there was any state that did that, that California did it this way. But what you're saying is every candidate is thrown in and you are allowed to vote for any party, regardless of how you identify, is what you're saying.
And they're running against, like, Republicans are running against Democrats in this primary.
That's fantastic.
Yes and no, because, like, I mean, look at this situation is scary. Because there are so many states that sit around the 50% mark when it comes to Democrat, Republican, and even California that is predominantly Democrat, if 45% of your state votes Republican and 55% votes Democrat, but what we're seeing now is there's 10 Democrats running and two Republicans, those two Republicans are shot to the top of the field, even though they're not great candidates.
Well, hopefully this will force the Democratic Party to figure that shit out before it comes to that. I just always hated the idea of being locked into, you know, you register as, because in some states you register as this voter and then you can only vote for those candidates. And I've just never thought that was the right way to do it. I've just always felt like people are more nuanced than that. And then parties and alignment shift and move so much that being able to vote for whoever you resonate with the most, regardless of the label that they're wearing, would be a better choice.
But yes, but it also, I worry about the Democrat, like you're saying, like, oh, the Democratic Party just has to get it together and like force people out of the race and then pick the Democratic Party picks the person that they want. Like, it's kind of counter to democracy and what a primary is supposed to be.
Well, I mean, I guess so, but I don't think that there weren't more than two Republicans in the state of California that wanted to run, right? And
sure.
So I just feel like there's got to be a moment when those 10 Democrats go, all right, let's like really look at the viability of all of this. And maybe, you know, obviously we don't want the establishment putting their finger on things because then we get what happened to Bernie Sanders. But, you know, this idea that there would be a communal effort to further the agenda of the party versus, you know, themselves, which Republicans are better at it.
I feel like that is because the Democratic Party doesn't have a vision.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Like,
no, there's a huge identity crisis for sure.
Yeah, and it's because what the Democratic National Convention wants, or the DNC wants, and the votership that they claim are so different. And you even look at, like, this is why I brought up this Democratic, or this primary, is simply because they did a Democratic primary debate, or I'm sorry, a full primary debate, because I'm realizing there were Republicans on stage as well, the two Republicans, and they went down the line and asked, if are you in support of a wealth tax? And every single one of them said no, except for Tom Steyer, who said, if it comes on my desk, I'll sign it, which is also not.
Tom Steyer is the rich guy, right?
Yeah. Tom Steyer has the most progressive policies, in my opinion, but is a billionaire. And granted, he's a billionaire, I don't want to vote for a billionaire, but he's also the only person saying that he would even consider a wealth tax. And then you look at Javier Becerra, who is another candidate at the top, who has progressive ideals, but is fully funded by big oil and AIPAC. So it's like, it's really hard to say.
I am honestly shocked that there just really hasn't been a movement to undo Citizens United. Like, I just, when it happened, we knew it was a bad idea. It's continued to be a terrible idea. Yet it seems to have now entrenched itself with the magic of money. And no one seems to be considering that maybe it's a bad idea.
Yeah. And it was one of those things that the second it was allowed, it was going to entrench itself immediately, because what you have is Citizens United is basically says that donating to political candidates is speech. And corporations fall under that free speech, so corporations can donate to political candidates. But the second that was allowed, all of a sudden you have these corporations dumping millions of dollars into the pockets of these candidates. And now the people that would decide to overturn Citizens United now have their pockets stuffed with the money of corporations, telling them, oh, if you vote against that, you're taking away our power that we gave you.
New voting idea. Upon birth or citizenship, you get a pebble. Very custom, small, doubloon rock. And you must put them in a jar and when you vote. And then you come back and you get your pebble back. And that is your vote for life. That is your pebble.
Okay. I like
and
that.
You treat it like your Social Security card, right? Remember? Like, I don't know. I don't know if people still treat it like that, but remember when, like, Social Security card was like, don't lose this.
I think I know where mine is.
Right? Like, it was definitely one of the, I don't know. I just remember, like, feeling like that was the be all and end all, because this proved that I was a citizen and that I, you know, that I can work here. And, like, I think we should have that sort of seriousness with voting. Not ID, not, you know, just like your vote. Right?
I love that.
No, a little antiquated.
I'm into it.
Hey, there was good news. I don't know. Have you been following this? I don't think we talked about this, but have you been following the Elon Musk, Sam Altman trial?
No.
So the long and short of it is, if you go way back before Elon was like wielding chainsaws and the Doge guy, when he was like, is this the next Steve Jobs guy? You know, with Tesla and SpaceX and all of that, the idea was that he was investing in OpenAI as an altruistic endeavor, that OpenAI was going to be a not-for-profit, and him and Sam Altman were aligned to do an open source sort of thing that was going to be good for all of humanity and not about profiting, etc. Well, as it developed, apparently they realized that just that legal mechanism of how this not-for-profit was formed left them at a disadvantage for fundraising, and that they actually structurally couldn't do what they needed to do as a not-for-profit. And so they sort of changed their business model. And as they're changing their business model, now Elon has gotten into AI in a separate thing. He basically like gets to a point where he's like, all right, I don't think this is what this is, and we need to go in a different direction. And so he like basically like gave them 6 more months of rent or something, and then like backed out. And then everybody went their separate ways, right? Here's the rich funder. Rich funder's not funding us anymore, but that's okay because we're not going to be not-for-profit. We're going to be for-profit, et cetera. Well, now in an attempt to, I believe, eliminate competition, he tried to sue them and say that it was a bait and switch, that like he was misled, and that it wasn't an honest exchange of, hey, the further we got along in this project, the more we realized this is not going to be something that can be a charity. And I was listening to a reporter talk about going to the courtroom and that it was like totally dude broed out, like that, like all of the Elon stands were there and that it had this, you know, air of a big brawl sort of a thing. Right. And I thought the coolest part was that Elon lost. And so he got to lose in front of all of his dude bros. And we love to see that.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was a really interesting, like, not that, you know, which billionaire is better than the other one. I don't really care about that. But watching a whole bunch of like dude bros show up in a courtroom and like fist bump and chant and then watching their king get kicked to the curb by the judges.
Hell yeah.
Or the jury. Yeah.
I feel like AI and all of the things we've been talking about in this episode so far are indicative of one thing. And I think it explains a lot of what is happening in our politics right now. Is I feel like for most of my life and your life, politics have been defined by the same kind of things. And politics is always going to be defined by what 50% and 50% of the country can agree on. Because if it was 80% against 20%, that's agreed upon. You know what I mean? So it is these kind of these ideals that hang around the 50-50 mark that kind of define our politics. And for our whole, for our lifetimes, I feel like it's been liberal to conservative, like financially as well as socially. And I feel like those kind of cleavages that separate us are changing so quickly and so drastically. And that's why the Republican Party has turned into what it is, as well as the Democratic Party, is the Republicans were like, everything is changing. Everything is about to change. We need to really lean in to what we have been about, which is this like racist, homophobic, right-wing evangelism.
Grad wife.
Yeah. They're kind of like, okay, things are getting confusing. Let's hone in. Where the Democratic Party are like, things are getting confusing. Let's try to please everyone. Mm-hmm. But because things are changing, they can't. And I feel like those new cleavages that we're going to be talking about moving forward is pro-technology, right? The pro-technology and anti-technology. And I guess you could call it like pro-modernity or anti-modernity. And I feel like it is a little bit of the trad wife sneaking into that as well. And I feel like you're seeing on the right these splits, and on one half is trad wife, and on the other half is these Elon Musk, Sam Altman, like you see it dividing there. And you also see it dividing in the Democratic Party, which is causing all of this kind of friction, which is the Democratic establishment is still trying to lean into being this like pro-corporate liberalism, where I feel like a lot of the left has swung away from that and is really trying to lean into kind of like anti-corporate, anti-technology.
A lot of centrist Democrats are tone deaf. A lot of they're not understanding the need to lean into the progressiveness of the party. And the other thing they're not understanding, and I think that this transcends politics or party, but women are pissed, man. And I'm like so sick of pretending like we're not. Like people are just like, you know, I've seen a lot of men on social media lately talk about, somebody made a post about this woman gave me a grimace and, oh, somebody told me to fuck you. And like, women are always telling me to fuck you and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, women's rights just got rolled back 50 fucking years. And for about 2 months, everybody was like, sorry, did nothing. And I don't understand why people don't realize why women are so fucking, why anyone with a fucking vagina is pissed off right now. Like, I really don't think that people understand what is happening to body autonomy in this country. Like that is really, and that to me is the most extreme, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not the most extreme, the most basic concept of freedom is autonomy over your body. And if you are really somebody who believes in American values and American ideals, it is about bodily autonomy. And that means it's your right to fucking fill your face with fucking Botox until you look like a maniac. It is your right to decide what gender you want to present to the world. It is your right to decide to dye your fucking hair or pierce your ears or have a baby or not. That is literally the core of freedom. And I think that there's really people are really underestimating how angry women are deeply and should be, as far as I'm concerned.
100%. I think everyone should be angry. And it's also like,
but they're not. They're not. And that's the part where I don't, you know, if you don't understand the basics of what the trans community is saying, you know, people who can birth babies are saying, if you're not understanding that while simultaneously getting Botox, like, fuck off.
100%. And this is also something that, like I said before, how the Republican Party is kind of doubling down on these cleavages. Before Roe v. Wade was overturned, it was like 75-80% of people in the United States believed that that should be. They believed that abortion should be legal, 80%. And now you have the Republicans in kind of this like gasp at power going against 80% of the population to rile up the 20% with hatred.
That's it. That's what they love to use.
And obviously what you're saying is frustrating and should make people so angry because of the situation we're in. But also what makes me angry even before those emotions is that, like, this should have already been decided. Gay marriage, 80% of the population is for it. Abortion, 80% of the population think that it should be legal. Yet you have a president with 30% approval rating shoving this down people's throats and going against the majority of the United States. And then it puts us in the situation where people are angry. And now we have to revisit this battle that should have already been decided, was already backed up by the majority of the population. And now we're again fighting for women's rights when that should have already been decided. And we should be fighting. We should have the opportunity to fight for other and better things now. But they're dragging us backwards to have this fight again when we should.
But because no one ever dealt with it. Was it, why was it something that could even be repealed?
100%. Like,
why was it that? And we know why that was. It was that because it was an issue that got people to the polls. And so for years, they were happy to regurgitate this because that abortion was something that Democrats won on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then we have the Reagan era and we have the politicization of the churches and bringing the Christian right into the mainstream movement. And here we are. Mm-hmm. Boo. I was in a better mood before that talk.
Wait, do you have a cutie of the week?
I have a cutie of the week, and it does follow along these lines of bodily autonomy. In a little bit of good news, a judge temporarily blocked the gender affirming care ban in Kansas. So State District Judge Carl Folsom III, our cutie of the week, granted the injunction after two mothers with trans teenagers sued so their kids could continue taking gender-affirming medications. Specifically, the court concludes that plaintiffs are likely to prevail based on the right to personal autonomy set out in Section 1 of the Kansas Constitution Bill of Rights and a parent's fundamental right to make decisions for their children. Exactly. You're a fucking conservative. Get the fuck out of my doctor's office. Get the fuck out of my kids' bedrooms. Mind your own goddamn business. You don't want me to tell you you can't give your child a gun? Then don't tell me that my kid can't have health care. Like, you know what I mean? So anyway, yes, we would like to, I'll take back my lesbian anger and bring back happy lesbian. State District Judge Carl Folsom III in the state of Kansas is our QT of the week.
Hell yeah.
So a win, you know, at least in the immediate. It's troubling, obviously, given that we have this Supreme Court, and we'll see what happens once we get up there. Hey, I meant to follow up after last week's real quick. Did we hear anything else about Virginia trying to pass the law that makes all their Supreme Court judges too old?
I'm not positive, but I heard the Democrats were like, but that would be hard to do. So I guess not.
Man, you think that they would learn from watching Mom Donnie. Do right. It, mean it, win, you know?
But the thing is like, the voters are learning from watching Mom Donnie.
That's true.
And now we are looking at everyone else going, why can't you guys do anything?
Yeah, I hope nothing bad happens to him, knock on wood. But like, that's where we live. We live in a place where if someone is too powerful for, on behalf of the people, that it inherently puts them at risk.
Yeah. Did you see that AOC just did a big speech in the South and had to be behind bulletproof glass?
No, but I'm not surprised.
Not at all.
America, America. All right, I think we did it.
Hell yeah.
Do you feel good?
Thanks. I do. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram.
And we're supposed to say that at the beginning.
Yeah, whatever. And like, follow, subscribe, do all the things.
And stay tuned for some maybe fun big news coming.
Yeah. I can't wait to... I get updates before every podcast, but we can't say on the pod yet.
Not yet. Can't say it yet. But I did want to say that I do recognize that I feel like I've been phoning in our podcast lately, and I apologize, Harrison.
No, you've been great.
My co-host. But there are exciting things coming, and I can't wait to talk about it. And we're gonna have new successors, and it's gonna be awesome.
You're gearing up.
All right. Okay. Love you.
Love you, Queerly.
Bye.
Queer is in.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.